Welcome to the CodeCast Podcast. Real-world insights for your daily medical coding and billing processes. And now, here's your host, Terry Fletcher.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CodeCast Podcast. My name is Terry Fletcher, and today we are now into October. It is the 155th episode of the CodeCast. We are into the fourth quarter of 2020. With everything going on in the world, it's crazy to think we finally made it this far. I first wanted to extend my thoughts, prayers, and best wishes for a speedy recovery to the President and the First Lady, who did announce last week that they contracted COVID-19. He had mild symptoms, and they were praying for their speedy recovery. So no matter what side of the aisle you're on, we definitely only wish the best for their first family. So as we start October, I wanted to start with a news bulletin that came in late Friday night, and I was actually surprised that it came in so early, but also surprised that this is even happening. So the public health emergency, which is supposed to end October 26th, because it goes out every 90 days and we got renewed from July, was renewed for another 90 days, which would take us into January 26, 2021, and I'm not sure why they extended it. If you look around and you actually, you know, query some of the hospitals and everything, across the country, we are less than 8% capacity in hospital admissions for COVID, and the recovery rate for all age groups is above 99%. So for certain age groups, say kids under 18, it's 99.9%. Then there's the next age group, and it's like 99.5%. I think the only age group that's 99% exactly is over 75. So Alex Czar, the HHS director, did this really without warning, and it was kind of interesting that he did it on the eve that the president went to Walter Reed. And so I'm not really sure what his insight is to doing this was. So I would make sure you keep checking, because once the election's over, I'd be surprised if they continue to extend this into January. I don't think this is appropriate, and I'm just giving you my professional opinion. Because in my opinion, what they're doing is they're extending it based on an anticipated tough flu season, and it affects so much reimbursement, and in the final rule that's coming out. And this makes no sense, because it's going to conflict everything that's in the final rule. It also conflicts, or I should say, puts a heavy burden on practices, providers, and hospitals, because the CMS audits are in full force, regardless of the PHE, which has caused all kinds of administrative burdens, and now having to make sure that you have the correct PPE, so the protective gear for patients coming in, and, you know, industrial cleaning, et cetera. But they're finding a lot of fraud and abuse. The UPIC and RAC audits are targeting telehealth. The last information that I have, which was yesterday, that there's over $4 billion at this point on abuse using telehealth platform, mostly opioid scripts and genetic testing, but there's more coming. And so they said telemarketing and just how they're targeting the patients under Medicare. So just make sure that you, if you're engaging still in telehealth, which I know a lot of practices are, still have a good percentage, that you're above reproach, that your documentation and your coding is, you know, audit proof. If not, have us take a look, because our audits have really ramped up as well, just because everybody's being proactive to make sure that they can pass an audit. And so it's really important to just keep that in mind, because I can see this getting completely out of hand. Because remember, during the PHE, under the CARES Act and under the 1135 waivers, some of the money they pushed out, and then there's another package coming for healthcare, they have to find a way to pay for it. And they also postponed, we don't know till when, the advance or accelerated payments, which were supposed to start taking offsetting checks as of August 1st. But there's, you know, you can't just print money in the basement. You've got to find a way to pay for this. And so it's they're going to do it through getting money back from audits. And so that's the only thing I can see, because there's so much money being pushed out right now, and our debt ceiling is just ridiculous. So anyway, just keep your eye on that. It's, again, the PHE has been extended until January, or another 90 days. It's funny how they never give you a date that it ends. They just tell you it's been extended, and you're supposed to make the assumption that it's a 90 days extension, because that's typically what it is. So today on my coding topic, you know, I've been trying to do some specialty topics. A couple weeks ago, I did gastro, and then I did cardiology. And this week, I'm going to do dermatology. I actually have also been asked to do ER medicine and just some other specialties, ortho, et cetera. So please make sure that you contact me or DM me or find me on any of the social media platforms if there's some specialty that you would like me to spotlight as well. But the reason I'm focusing on dermatology this week is I wanted to bring a couple of things to the forefront because I'm getting a lot of coding emails, mostly from my Coding Corner clients, but also from some new clients that actually wanted to join the membership. But it appears that there definitely needs to be a refresher on how to choose codes in the debridement section. So I'm going to have a discussion with you on that and hopefully make it not only easier for you when you're working in the integumentary system, which is skin, but also help you to understand some of the nuances when it comes to working with wound care and some of the treatments. So you really have to kind of understand the definition and then what Medicare's definition is, because a lot of these patients are definitely Medicare patients. So first of all, wound care involves treatment for various types of damage to the skin. It includes an assessment, a management, cleansing of the wound, sometimes a simple debridement, a removal and reapplication of wound dressings. And you really have to understand some skin anatomy for wound care services as well, because there may be some length time width, times width issues, how far you go down, things like that, and surface area issues. Also with active wound care procedures, this also involves removing devitalized and necrotic tissue to promote healing. And I say that because that has to be in the documentation. Otherwise, it's not defined as active wound care. Medicare's definition of a debridement is, and I'll quote, the removal of foreign material and or devitalized or contaminated tissue from or adjacent to a traumatic or infected wound until surrounding healthy tissue is exposed. So that's what they're looking for. And they say codes must be assigned based on the deepest level of tissue debrided first, debrided or removed first, and then the total surface second. So there's kind of a methodical way to look at how you're choosing your codes. So the codes on the debridement section really fall in the 11042 to 11047 series. And this describes the work performed during wound excisional debridement. And this can be performed at the patient's bedside, in the ER, in the operating room. It can be in your physician's office. But here's what you're looking for in the documentation. So you're looking for first the technique used. So was it scrubbing, brushing, washing, trimming, excisional? The instruments used. This is big. Okay. So scissors, scalpel, curette, brushes, pulse lavage. How are they getting that debridement to happen? And then the nature of the tissue removed. So slough, necrosis, devitalized tissue, non-viable tissue. All of these terms need to be within the report to understand what you're doing. The appearance and size of the wound. So is it fresh bleeding tissue? Is it viable tissue? And it's helpful to know the size or the landscape of what's going on. And then the depth of the debridement. So skin, fascia, or subcutaneous tissue, soft tissue, or did it actually go down to the muscle and the bone or muscle or bone? So to determine the proper code first, consider the depth of the debridement. And this is determined by the deepest depth of removed tissue. And your physician has to outline that in the documentation. Keep in mind that the wound may extend to the bone, but only if subcutaneous tissue is removed, the depth of debridement is to the subcutaneous tissue. So again, it's the depth of debridement, not where the wound tends to, how deep that is. It's how far down you're going to actually debride some of that tissue. Then you select debridement codes, again, deepest level of tissue debrided, and then based on the measurement of the wound surface that was actually debrided. So when the entire wound is debrided, the wound measurement after the debridement should be reported. So let me repeat that. When the entire wound is debrided, measure after the debridement, and that's going to be your logistics that's going to be your measurements when you're reporting. When multiple wounds are debrided at the same length, combine the debrided surface measurements of all same tissue depth wounds. So you would combine anything that's the same. And do not bill each wound separately, but document each depth wound separately. Okay, so I know there's a lot that goes into it. So one of the things, what matters is specifically in the report? Laterality does not matter. So nobody cares about right or left side. You can put it in there, but it's not necessary as far as choosing your code. Anatomical location, however, does matter. And there are codes for leg, including ankle. There are codes for foot and toes and different areas, trunk, arms, face, scalp. There are all kinds of locations for actually where you're at with that. So it's important to make sure you know what that documented surface area is, because you're going to be determining that by square centimeters. So you want to know what, if the portion of the wound is debrided, report only the measurement of the actual area that's debrided, but just make sure that if it's the entire wound surface, that you're looking also at square centimeters. So for example, subcutaneous tissue codes would be 11042, and that's for the first 20 square centimeters. 11045 is an add-on code for an additional 20 square centimeters. Muscle or fascia. So this now goes into epidermis, dermis, and subcutaneous tissue. This goes down again, 20 square centimeters or less, 11043, and then each additional 20 square centimeters or part thereof is 11046. Now, when you get into debridement of the bone, now you're getting into each layer. Now, again, you're going epidermis, dermis, subcutaneous tissue, muscle and or fascia, and also bone. Now you're in the 11044 to 11047. It's just, you keep getting deeper. So just know that the deeper you go, the different codes will change. So I'm going to start a coding question just so you can kind of understand this. So a patient with a 4 centimeter by 4 centimeter ulcer on his calf required a debridement of necrotic subcutaneous tissue. After the debridement was complete, the area measured 5 centimeter by 5 centimeter. Because the whole area was debrided, the code was based on the final measurement of 5 by 5 centimeters or 25 square centimeters. So what is that? Well, if you go back to the codes I mentioned, 11042 is debridement 20 square centimeters or less, and that's for subcutaneous tissue. And then remember, the 11045 says, now this goes into each additional 20 square centimeters or part thereof. Well, we're at 25, so a part thereof, I get now a 11045 add-on code. So for that one, I actually get that add-on code. But let's take that same patient, and let's change the parameters a little bit. So again, with a 4 centimeter by 4 centimeter ulcer on his calf, but over half the ulcer was healing. The surgeon stated that she debrided necrotic tissue on a 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter section. So this is now based only on 1 square centimeter. So now you only have the 11042. Remember, before it was the necrotic tissue, and we had to do the entire surface area. This one, we're only basically what you actually debride. And it changes your coding, even though the patient may present at the same encounter as far as the diagnosis. But then what you actually debride is going to change your coding process on that. So just make sure that you're understanding some of those processes. Otherwise, it could be definitely kind of confusing there. And I'm just going to give you one more. This one is a 15 square centimeter of subcutaneous tissue debrided from the right leg and 10 centimeters subcutaneous tissue from the left leg. Okay, so again, we're at that 25, and this is when the same depth is greater. Remember, if we have something that is the same, we're supposed to use just the add-on code. So we have 11042 and 11045. So you add them up when it's still the same because we're just doing subcutaneous. If we had the second leg was actually looking at bone or muscle or something extra, then you would code it separately. But when it's the same tissue that's being debrided, then you're going to look at it that way. So I could keep going on about this forever, but I don't want to give you a webinar. But I just wanted to really touch on some things that have been just kind of concerning me as far as understanding the skin and the integumentary system. So I have an on-demand webinar with this if you want more of that information. So feel free to contact me or look at terryfletcher.net. Okay, and our CodeCast was also brought to you today by Charles Schwab, Be a More Informed Investor. Follow us for news and insight to help you own your own tomorrow, aboutschwab.com. So my personal tidbit this week, and I've been thinking about the things that we have been missing because of quarantine and lockdowns, and there's still many states that really have only opened up maybe 25% or halfway. And there's some people that absolutely went back to work and they just said, you know, screw it, we need to make money, which I get that. I mean, in California, even though they say that we're still halfway locked down, if you went on our freeways, you wouldn't believe it. So there's certain things you just at some point have to, I guess, exercise your civil liberties and say, I need to go back to work. You know, wear your mask, wash your hands, social distance, all that they recommend. But I wanted to just comment on something that I'm noticing happening now that we are almost 8 months now into this pandemic. You know, Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah are all coming. Make sure, especially if you have small kids or even teenagers, make sure that you're still decorating. You know, change your decor for the fall. Get a pumpkin, go to the pumpkin patch and carve it outside on newspaper because it's very messy. But don't cancel life. Don't wait for this to go away. It's going to change things for a very long time, and we don't know where it's going. I'm already starting to see some states are having a spike. But depression, anxiety, suicide is a really big problem during this pandemic, and you can't let it win. If you're working from home, make a conscious effort to leave the house. Yes, with a mask if you need to, but go grab a Starbucks or go grab a burger. Look at the ocean, but you know, again, see a friend. And this is one thing I've done with my friends because everybody's all about, well, you know, you can't necessarily see friends. Well, we do, but we're very responsible about it. I have a lawn chair in the back of my car where basically I go and see a friend and she'll sit on her porch or she'll sit where she is. I'll be 6 feet away from her because we're exercising our social distance. We don't have our masks on. And then we just have our conversation. You know, she pours herself a glass of wine. I have my Starbucks iced tea. And so we just have our call, but we, you know, and we just basically need to talk, our personal connection. But if you don't have joy in this world, you can't survive. And something just as little as putting out little pumpkins for your kids and, you know, putting out some fall decor, putting out maybe a couple candles at night. And, you know, if your kids are on computer all day and they're distant learning, think about how you feel after a day of being on the computer. If you have not gone back to in-person learning, you know, help your kids out. Give them some recess breaks. You know, use cookie cutters for their sandwiches, maybe Halloween themes, ghosts and pumpkins, etc. And then when you're cooking dinner at night, instead of the TV on, well, unless it's Monday Night Football, you know where I'm at, but put music on and make it their choice. Now you not only know what they're listening to and you can go, no, 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 or basically you can see people kind of bebopping around to the music and say, you can turn it up. Let's play some music loud and make dinner together. But mental health is just as important as our physical health. And it is to others too. And we need to make sure that not only are we self-care with ourselves and getting that mental break, but that we're recognizing that the people around us need some joy as well. And you can do that for them just with some subtle changes to show them fall is here, colors are here, pumpkins are here, and, you know, just help out your kids a little bit. For those of you who say, oh, I don't have cookie cutters, use a glass that's round or a glass that's square or whatever for sandwiches. I used to do that with my daughter all the time. She had different sandwiches in her lunch. I used to write her a note on a napkin saying, I love you, have a great day, and put it in her lunch. You need to do that for your kids, especially if some of you have kids that are not back to school full time. And just know, even if they are, they're wearing a mask all day, give them a break at home and make sure that you're talking to them about their day so they can talk to you without that thing on. So just wanted to just, you know, really kind of plead to your, I don't know, inner self when it comes to mental health and just realizing how important it is for everybody. Okay, everyone, on this Terry Tuesday, thank you for spending some time with me. Make it a great day, a great week, and thank you for listening to the CodeCast podcast.
For more information on medical coding, billing, auditing, and compliance, including how to hire Terry, follow Terry on Twitter at TerryCoder1 or visit her website at www.terryfletcher.net. Podcast producer Joe Kuzma. Music producer Dasassin Music.